Earlier this week, I went to watch a school assembly led by a class of 10-year-olds. The assembly was on the theme of space, and the class gleefully told us how Tim Peake, the astronaut, goes to the toilet in space. No surprise, is it, that a 10-year-old would want to talk about that sort of thing. But they also explained how our solar system works and the movement of the planets. They did it like this. A child all dressed in yellow stood in the centre of the stage, and then a child dressed in blue and green started rotating around the girl in the middle, and then a slightly smaller child who was dressed in grey started rotating around the one who was in blue and green, who was still rotating around the one in yellow in the middle. But they didn't do that for too long, because it was rather a small stage, and there was a risk of a big bang, shall we say. Today, one of the first things that we learn about space is that the sun is at the centre of our solar system. But people didn't always think that way. From about the 2nd century AD, it was believed that the Earth was the centre of the universe. People believed that the sun, the moon, the planets and the stars all revolved around us, that we were right in the middle. Then in the early 16th century, an astronomer called Copernicus proposed a radically different idea. He said that the sun was at the centre and that the Earth revolved around the sun. Seems pretty obvious to us now, but at the time it was a revolutionary idea. The idea that we are not the centre, that the sun is the centre of all things. As I read this week's gospel reading from John, and as I read about what Mary did for Jesus, that incredible act of worship, I found myself thinking about that assembly. And I found myself asking this question: who's at the centre of my universe? Or what's at the centre of my universe? Does everything revolve around me? Do I need a revolution in my thinking? I wonder, who or what is at the centre of your universe? This story takes place around a meal. We're told in the previous chapter of John, in John 11, about Lazarus being raised from the dead. And now in this chapter, Martha, who's the sister of Lazarus, makes a meal in Jesus' honour. I wonder if it's some sort of celebration meal or perhaps a thank you meal for what Jesus has done. Then partway through the meal, Mary, who's the other sister of Lazarus, shocks the men at the table by pouring perfume onto Jesus' feet and then wiping them with her hair. It was shocking for all sorts of reasons. Men and women didn't normally eat together. This scene should have been rather like a gentleman's club, so Mary shouldn't have come in and been at the table. Also, women didn't usually let their hair down in front of men, unless, of course, they wanted to advertise their services, shall we say. So when Mary took her hair down, that was pretty shocking as well. But John doesn't remark on either of those things. What does shock the guests is that the perfume Mary uses to pour on Jesus' feet is worth an enormous wages. The average salary today is £27,000 a year. Imagine being at some sort of dinner party and somebody pouring 27 grand's worth of perfume over the feet of the person next to you. It doesn't say where the perfume came from, but I wonder if it was some sort of family heirloom. And so Mary throws away her family's financial security in one impassioned act of devotion. We probably all know that Judas is going to become the bad guy in this story, but I can't help but sympathize with his response. He says, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? I even remember reading this story as a child and thinking the same thing then. Yeah, Judas has got a point here. It does seem like a waste. But then, Jesus has just raised her brother from the dead. So Mary's action is an expression of gratitude and wonder and love. A few weeks ago, I was talking to a woman who's just had her first baby. And she said, I feel like I've spent hours just sitting here, gazing at her. Maybe she could have spent her time more profitably, but she is so full of gratitude, wonder, and love that she can't stop looking at her tiny daughter. When I do funeral visits, people frequently tell me that they have spent the last few weeks, months, and sometimes even years caring for their loved one or sitting at their bedside. We don't question that kind of devotion, do we? We understand that love drives us to be generous, even profligate, with our time and with resources, often at great personal cost. We gaze at a newborn baby because we are full of love, and we sit with the person who is dying because we love them. When Mary pours perfume onto Jesus' feet, she is doing those two things. She is giving thanks for the new life that her brother Lazarus has, and she's also acknowledging that Jesus will shortly die, that she's sitting with a dying man, as it were. Do you know, I find Mary's actions challenging and provocative, and not because she lets her hair down. I am challenged by her devotion and her love for Jesus. I am challenged that she gives so much to him at such great personal cost. It begs the question again, who is really the center of my universe? Does everything really revolve around me? Do I maybe need a revolution in my thinking and my attitude to life? A few weeks ago, I made a very posh dessert for some visiting friends who came for dinner. It was the sort of dessert that took a long time to make and used lots of expensive ingredients, but it was worth it because it was a really good pudding. After a long day at work, I came home knowing that the final piece was in the fridge. It had my name on it, and I was really looking forward to it, until I opened the fridge to discover that Nick, no, he'd not eaten it, but he'd let the children eat it instead. The children, who were satisfied with a Smart Price custard cream, were given this most fabulous dessert. And if I'm honest, I felt like it was wasted on them, because they wouldn't have appreciated what they'd been given and the effort that had gone into it. When we read this story, we read with the benefit of knowing what happens next. We know how this story ends. Perhaps Jesus was happy for Mary to waste her perfume on him because he knew he was about to pour out his own life for others. But not just that, he would pour out his own life on behalf of people who wouldn't appreciate what they'd been given, who wouldn't understand the cost of what they had been given. But Jesus does it anyway, pours himself out. I wonder if it was the waste, that sense of waste that made Judas angry, the waste of the money, and also Jesus' decision to waste his own life. Or was Judas' anger fueled by greed? Did he feel that he'd missed out on something that was rightfully his, like that last piece of pudding in the fridge? He sort of felt that somehow he was owed the good things that Mary was pouring onto Jesus' feet. Judas couldn't grasp Mary's sacrificial generosity. He couldn't grasp Jesus' sacrificial generosity. And in fact, John tells us that Judas was a thief, and that shortly after this, he would sell out his friends for 30 pieces of silver. When you read this story, you realize that Mary's generous actions expose the self-centeredness of Judas. The two are diametrically opposed. She is pouring out everything she has for this man, and Judas is sitting there calculating exactly what he thinks he is owed by this man. Who should be at the center of the universe? Who should everything really revolve around? Does our thinking need to be revolutionized? This story hints at the story to come. It hints at the story of Easter, and in the next couple of weeks we'll be entering into that story again. And the Easter story isn't a story of waste. It is the story of love and devotion. Christ's love and devotion to us. When you love someone, you put them at the center. That's what Jesus does for us when he gave his life for us. He put us at the center of his world and poured himself out. And he invites us to do the same, to do what Mary did for him, to put him at the center of our lives and to pour our lives out for him as a sacrificial offering, as an expression of our love for the Lord who truly is the centre of the universe, around whom all things revolve. Amen.